At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Welcome to another episode of the Bastards of Boston Baseball. We want to give a shout-out to any new listeners who are joining us for the very first time. We're happy to have you on board. For those of you who have been here from the start, you already know the drill. We live and die by this team just like the rest of you, and we make no apologies for that. I am your host, Jason Kelly, coming to you from Canton, Massachusetts. You can find me on Twitter at Color of the Iris. You can find the podcast account at Bastards_Boston. Joining me tonight from the city of Reading, Pennsylvania, is Micah Storms. Micah, how are we doing?
Doing well. Excited to talk about some positive news because someone is likely to return, which right now with how the Sox are going, they could use some positive news. So I'm excited for that.
Absolutely. And real quick, where can folks find you on Twitter?
They can find me at Ballpark Buzz.
Right. And also joining us tonight from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, by way of Windham, Maine, is Terry Cushman. Terry, how are you?
Ready for round two, and by the time everyone listens to this, the guy we're about to talk about might have logged a baseball game first time since April. So,
yep. And for your Twitter, that is what?
That is at Cushman MLB.
Awesome. Well, like you guys alluded to, we're going to finally have some positive news surrounding the Red Sox. Adam Duvall is about to be activated. He's about to wrap up his rehab assignment from the wrist injury that he suffered earlier this year. He's going to be activated sometime this weekend. So Red Sox are about to get a true power bat back in their lineup. Duvall obviously got off to a red hot start, had an unfortunate injury out there in Detroit. But this is a guy that was hitting for power, was, you know, in a big part of your lineup, and he's finally coming back. And let's face it, this Red Sox lineup needs a little bit of juice. They needed a kick because things are not going well for the team. The team feels like they're free-falling a little bit. Adam Duvall is just one guy, but how much of an impact can one guy make? Micah, let's start with you.
I mean, I think he can make a big impact for sure. It's just kind of ironic that, you know, Duvall plays, they brought him in to play center field, and probably the most consistent hitters in the Red Sox lineup have been their outfielders in Duran, Yoshida, and Verdugo. So where he fits in this, I'm not quite sure. That's going to be something to definitely watch to see how Cora sets the lineup each day to get guys, you know, regular at-bats. But Duvall is absolutely needed. You know, Hernandez, right-handed bat, not a power hitter. Turner, right-handed bat, not a power hitter. Ref Snyder, right-handed bat, not a power hitter. There really isn't a power hitter on this entire team. Rafael Devers can absolutely hit home runs, but that's not his strength. Adam Duvall is a home run hitter, and that's what this team desperately needs. But I also think that Red Sox fans need to kind of lower their expectations because Duvall in the first, he played 8 games. So a super small sample size. He hit .455 with a .514 OBP and he slugged over 1,000. So I think obviously that is not the Adam Duvall that we are going to get. He could do it for the first series in New York, sure, but over the course of the next couple of months, he is not going to hit .455. If you look at the previous 3 seasons, his batting averages, it was .237, .228, and .213. So Duvall is definitely a high risk, high reward type hitter. But that's what the Red Sox need. They need power. They need potentially some protection for Devers, and hopefully he can be that. But if Red Sox fans think they're going to get, you know, the Duvall we saw, that crazy walk-off home run against Baltimore in the first weekend of the series, I'm not quite sure we're going to get that. And I do think he's going to need probably some time to get back into the swing of things because he's been out a long time.
Terry, thoughts on Duvall?
I don't know how many games. Let's see. It was 8 games. That's all we had of Adam Duvall. And then the wrist injury happened. Tristan Casas has played 55 games and has only driven in 4 more runs than Adam Duvall. That's how bad Adam Duvall has missed. It's going to be a welcome presence back in the Red Sox lineup. In the last show covering the Guardians series, very intense show. If anyone hasn't heard it, go back and listen to it because it was pretty loaded. But I complained about Casas being the guy behind Devers, you know, so you may as well put Duvall behind him. And Duvall, he strikes out a lot, so even that's not ideal, but at least he's a threat, you know, and he's not quite as streaky as Casas is. So I think that might you might help Devers by doing that. You know, it's a multifaceted you know, improvement. So that's nice. I'm not quite sure how he will fare against Gerrit Cole if Cora decides to put him in the lineup the first night. But it's also curious to see how he slotted in now. I mean, is it going to be as a DH a lot of the time? I mean, I don't think they've elaborated on that. Do you want to take the bat out of Duran's hands? He's cooled off. You know, he's hitting under 200 in the last month or so. So I guess that would be justifiable, at least. And Duvall is an adequate defender. So, but it's just, it's going to be weird to see the dynamic and how that all plays out. The other interesting thing too was all winter long, the Bluminati was like, oh, the vibes are so good. And, you know, opening day, you know, baseball's really romantic for a few days. And that's when Duvall was doing all the damage. Not so romantic now, you know, he's coming into a pretty turbulent, you know, environment where, you know, things aren't going good. You know, the manager's under a ton of pressure. I don't know how much time Haim has been spending around them, but it's not the same vibes. So we'll see. But it's certainly going to add a big power presence that we've been missing badly.
Yeah, the vibes are no longer immaculate. the vibes are actually trash at this point. So, yeah, he's coming back to a much different situation. In terms of how he slots in, that's going to be really interesting to see. I mean, Cora could always bench Verdugo for no reason again, and then that opens up a spot for him. But in general, yeah, you're right. Like, do you want to take the bat out of Duran's hands now? I mean, he has cooled off, but he's also one of your young players that you're trying to develop. And, you know, if you start benching him and he starts seeing less, you know, regular playing time, that may not benefit him. You could slot him in at DH and have Turner either take a night off or play first base and give Casas a night off, but it is going to crowd things a little bit. So where he slots in, where he goes, you know, in the field or in the lineup, going to be very interesting to see. They do need the power, though. They need that, especially from the right side. Their right-handed power, you mentioned it, Micah, it's just they don't have anything. I mean, you know, people who expect Justin Turner to regularly hit for power, it's not going to happen. So it's a big gain in that regard. I do think that I prefer that he play center field more regularly because he is a very good defender out there. He's always been a plus defender in the outfield, so I think you have to find a way to get him back out into the field on a regular basis. But it's definitely a lift. It's definitely a bonus. In terms of, you know, how big of an impact will it have at this point with what the team's going through, if he returns to regular Adam Duvall, I don't think it's going to impact much, because regular Adam Duvall is, you know, sub 250 hitter. Yes, he hits for power, but he's also going to strike out a lot. So you're essentially just getting the power, but you're not getting a guy who's going to, you know, compete for a batting title or, you know, really regularly put fear into opposing pitchers. You know, Gerrit Cole's not going to see Adam Duvall coming back and going, oh no, like, no, he's going to mow him down. So I like Duvall a lot. I love the start that he got off to. I worry that the injury is going to derail him a little bit and he might struggle, you know, in his first stint back. But at the end of the day, it's, you know, we need bodies back. And he's sort of the first domino to fall in that regard. So I'll take it at this point. Micah, what did you want to add?
We all know how Rafael Devers has really been struggling. In the 8 games that Duvall played and hit behind Devers, Devers was 11 for 34, which is a .323 average with 4 home runs. So I don't know if that's coincidence. I don't know if that's small sample. But Devers definitely started the year pretty hot and looked comfortable. And maybe having a guy he knows is a respectable power hitter behind him, maybe that gets him going. I mean, that's obviously me trying to be optimistic. But, you know, 8 games, he was really good in those 8 games. And I find that interesting.
Oh, 100%. I mean, we've talked about the Devers thing. It's, you know, the protection behind him, you know, having Tristan Casas hit behind him is not, that's not going to work. It's just not at this stage, not until Casas turns into what everyone hopes he can be. But having Duvall hit behind Devers is definitely going to make a difference. And like you said, hopefully wakes him up, because that's the other part this offense is missing. They're not just missing right-handed power. They're missing vintage Rafael Devers. And it doesn't mean that Devers has to hit 40 bombs. Like you said, if he just starts finding the gap again, you know, just driving the ball out into the gap like he's known to do, then that makes such a difference for the offense. So hopefully it instills some confidence in him and makes him more comfortable, because you don't just need Duvall, you need Devers waking up as well. So it's going to be huge in that regard. Any final thoughts on Duvall before we move on?
Yeah, I mean, my expectations aren't too high for this Yankees series. I mean, and I already got off the page, but he's hitting just over 200 down in Worcester. I think he's got a mid-threes on base with a couple home runs. Not terrible for a guy who hasn't, you know, faced live pitching, you know, in nearly 2 months. But once the Yankees series ends, we have the Colorado Rockies. That could be a good get right team to face. Their pitching staff not too overpowering. Then we have a 4-game set the week after against the Twins. 3 games against the White Sox. So these are all very favorable, I think, to getting him back on the right track and getting to figure out, you know, exactly where we want to slot him. I will say this, you know, a guy who is also missed a lot is Trevor Story. Like, there's no mystery. Like, we know where he's going and we know how much he's going to help as far as the defense goes, but we'll see.
Yeah. And that's why I mentioned Duvall's really sort of that first domino of guys coming back. You know, it's going to be Duvall and then, you know, smaller piece, but good for defense. Yu Chang should be on his way too. So that'll help your defense immensely. That also kind of, you know, takes the pressure off Emmanuel Valdez, who clearly isn't ready and needs more time down in AAA. And then hopefully shortly after, it'll be Trevor Story. And if this team's not completely out of it and hasn't completely dug themselves their own grave by, you know, the time he gets back, then they could be in really good shape with that return. So got to look forward to that.
Just freestyling here. I threw this out on Twitter, but do you guys really want Yu Chang back? Cause I'm really liking Pablo Reyes, who is okay with the glove.
I think Chang is a little bit better offensively because I think he can hit well against righties and lefties. I think Reyes, once you put him up against a good right-hander, he looks lost at the plate. And Reyes is also like, I don't know, he's good defensively, but I think Chang is just a little bit better. It's just a little better defensively. So I would still prefer Chang over Reyes, but honestly, it's like, you know, it's pretty close between the two. Micah, what do you think?
I think people want Chang back just because Kike has been that bad at shortstop and they just don't want to see him there ever again. Reyes hasn't played consistently at shortstop. So I think if you could platoon Chang and Reyes until Story comes back, if he comes back soon, I think that would be the goal. I just think every Red Sox fan wants to send Kike Hernandez to the moon or to the outfield because it's just been an absolute disaster at shortstop.
Yeah, I agree. And that's ultimately what it comes down to. Yu Chang is not going to light the world on fire with the bat, but he's so good defensively at short. You know, I'll take him back anytime. So speaking of the shortstop position, we're going to check in on a former shortstop of ours, a Mr. Xander Bogaerts out there in San Diego, obviously signed a mega contract with them, 11-year deal, and got off to a red hot start. I mean, just absolutely was crushing it out of the gate, hit 290 in the month of April, hit 12 home runs that month, just looked like an absolute monster. He's tailed off quite a bit since then. So 290 in April, hit 200 in May. The power was still there, still had 7 homers in that month. But now he's just hitting 167 so far in June. And now there's a wrist injury. And, Bob Melvin came out today and said, you know, he's not going on the IL. He doesn't want to go on the IL. So they're going to kind of just manage it, give him some days off here and there. And hopefully he can avoid the injured list. But obviously this is a concern for a team that spent a lot of money on him as well as some other players throughout the years. A team in the Padres that has been going for it for several years, has been going all in, and they're under 500. And Xander Bogaerts, who was their offensive catalyst, now might have a wrist injury and is really starting to slump. So a little bit concerning, and, you know, this isn't unfamiliar to Red Sox fans for sure. Xander dealing with a nagging injury, but now it's San Diego's problem, so we get to look at it from the outside this time. Terry, what are your thoughts on the whole Bogaerts situation over there?
I'm not surprised. I've always questioned, you know, Xander's toughness. I've questioned his leadership, and just when things aren't going well, they typically just don't seem to get better. And I don't really remember him really putting together a full season. Like, he'll have a good first half, or, you know, he'll be hot during the summer months, but he breaks down a lot. And I know the Bluminati loves to gleefully point out his struggles as if to say, ha ha, Haim got this one right. But I don't think anybody in their right mind would have given him a contract that paid him big money through his age 41 season. And we saw him really struggle with the grind, you know, in his late 20s. So that's not going to be a good contract. I can't really think of a good comp where a player like him flamed out. I know it's happened. I mean, I guess the Pujols contract, he was never Alex Pujols, but he fell off a cliff and just never came back. except for, I guess, last year when he miraculously strung together those 12 home runs when he had only hit like 8, you know, through mid-August. But still, it's going to be a rapid drop off. And once it happens, he's never coming back. He's never coming back. And you look at the Padres right now, they're only 3.5 out. And you look at some of the other teams ahead of them around the league. Is Pittsburgh going to, maintain this. They're not getting O'Neill Cruz back until August. They could make some moves at the deadline. The National League East, I mean, are the Phillies going to get it together? That's highly questionable. The Mets are just a dumpster fire right now. And so I think through all that, I kind of like the Padres the most out of those teams I just mentioned to get it together, you know, whether Xander's a big part of it or not. But they're going to have some interesting decisions, though. I mean, I think where the Padres could have really intense remorse about this is when they have to try to negotiate with Juan Soto. You know, they probably should have given Xander's money to him and not gone so crazy. But we'll see. They will have a lot of remorse at some point, one way or the other.
Micah.
You'll have a hard time finding a bigger Bogarts fan than I am. I just loved him in Boston, and I still stay up late and watch Bogarts play in San Diego just because I just loved him as a player. But I do find it interesting that, you know, we saw him deal with a wrist injury in Boston and a couple other of, you know, injuries, and he just refused to go on the IL. I think the only time I can remember him going on the IL is when he caught that pop-up and he slid into the Red Sox dugout and he hurt his ankle. But he was only on the IL for the minimum, and then he was back miraculously. And they were like, oh, he's such a quick healer. And some people do heal quicker than others. Yes, that is true. But sometimes you can come back and you're not 100%, and then you're dealing with that injury for almost the entire season. And it's like, is that worth coming back? You know, another week or two, you could be close to, if not 100%. I would much rather have a player, any player, you know, for 120 games feel good than dealing with that same injury for the next 60 games, or dealing with then another injury comes up. I wonder if, I don't know if it's a pride thing, like he wants to just be in the lineup every day, which, you know, in today's game, like, that should be valued and appreciated that guys want to play every day. But there, I do think there is such a thing as hurting your team, even though you want to play. Because obviously the statistics, I mean, 200, 283 with a 263 in the entire month of May, that's a terrible slash line. And then it's just gotten worse in the three games he's played in June. I think with Manny Machado with the broken hand, maybe he's trying to wait till Machado comes back and then go on the IL himself to try to, you know, not make it so much on Tatis Jr. and Soto. But I feel like the Padres are a perfect example of a team that has so many really good players, but the entire roster doesn't necessarily mesh, and it's not a very deep roster. And I wonder if it's ever going to click. You know, the those four players, Machado, Soto, Bogarts, and Tatis Jr., you're not going to find a better, a more talented group of four. But sometimes it just doesn't work. You know, Juan Soto has not been the same player since he came to San Diego. Not sure what it is, but will he get that same deal, that $420 or $450 million deal that he supposedly turned down from Washington? I wouldn't give it to him. You know, I mean, I don't think San Diego is giving it to him because I don't think they can. But it is interesting to see these big deals or these potential big deals. Because Terry, you brought up Pujols. Pujols sank the Angels for a long time. I mean, they had Mike Trout. And it didn't matter. They brought Ohtani, and it didn't matter because they had this hole at first base in DH that was taking up $25, $30 million every year. And he was, at that time, he was just a replacement level player. And it's just these massive deals. I mean, Bogart's in year one dealing with a wrist injury. If I'm a Padres fan, I'm like sweating because 10 more years of, you know, is this a bigger wrist injury than we realized? Or I don't know. I think Bogarts will be fine for the first half of the deal. I think he'll be productive. But 11 years is a really, really long time. And for a lot of these deals, that have been handed out recently. There's not a lot of evidence other than maybe Pujols and a couple others of these really long deals. What does that look like for a team at the end of the contract? I mean, they say, oh, it's just backloading the money, but it still counts towards the luxury tax for that year. And, you know, the Padres with Tatis Jr., Bogarts, and Machado, who knows what those three guys look like at the age 38, 39, and 40. Like, those are going to be three old players that nobody's going to want to trade for. And I don't know. The Padres better win now, because I don't think they are going to be competing, you know, 6, 7, 8 years from now. I think their window is right now, and it's hard to believe that they're 29-33 and 8 games out of the NL West with that core group and the amount of money they've spent and the moves they've made. It's quite shocking. Bogarts is not to blame for the Padres' slow start, but he's a part of it. He's a part of it for sure. He really carried them in April, but since then, he's been poor on his standards for sure.
Yeah, I wanted Bogarts back here, but I wanted him back on like a 7-year deal. As soon as it dropped that he signed that 11-year deal, I sort of went, okay, well, you know what? That's fine. You know, and at that point, Devers hadn't been signed yet, so I sort of pivoted to, okay, I don't mind that you let Sander walk, because 11 years is too much for a guy who's 30 years old, but now you got to go sign Devers. And luckily they did, but yeah, it's these mega deals, like, you know, it's very rare that they work out, especially for the entire length of the contract. And Bogarts isn't the only one. Trey Turner signed an 11-year deal, and he's off to a slow start. Now, he's at least healthy, and, you know, he's, I think, a year younger than Xander, but he's hitting .240, not for a ton of power with that Phillies team. So, I mean, that's another one that so far, year one already, you know, they might be having some buyer's remorse. The Bogarts' refusal to go on the IL thing is really weird, and he did it here too. There's a big reason why Cora, I think, handled him with kid gloves and gave him a lot of days off, probably more than, you know, we wanted him to have. But, you know, Cora probably felt like he had no choice. He knew that Xander was dinged up, whether it was a wrist or a knee or a hamstring, whatever. But he just wanted to play through it. And I guess that's admirable to a point. But when it gets to a point where you start hurting your team because you're so dinged up that you can't be productive, then I think at that point, as the team, you have to take over and say, no, we're putting you on the IL. Like, you have to sit for 15 days because this is just, you're not helping us at this point. You're actually a detriment. So I agree. If I were a Padres fan, I'd be a little bit nervous. Wrist injuries are tricky too, because if they don't heal properly and it's not taken care of properly, you know, that wrist may never feel normal again. And for a hitter, that's huge. Like, you want the quickness in your wrists. Like, that's part of hitting. So if Xander doesn't feel like he has that, that could really affect him in the long term. It could really start to make that contract look pretty hairy. So, yeah, the Padres are in a really tough spot because they have to win now with, you know, what's pending with Soto and with all the money they have tied up and everyone else. Tatis is back for now, but who knows with that guy? You know, he might just go off the deep end again and or get busted for PEDs again. Who the hell knows? So they're in a really tough spot, and this Xander news is not helping for sure. So it's one of those things where I necessarily don't miss him a ton. I hate to say that because he was one of my favorite players when he was here, but just because of that contract and the ramifications that come with it. And I would much rather see, you know, the Padres dealing with this than to be dealing with it over here, where, you know, we sign him to that mega deal and we're sitting here talking about, yeah, Xander's got a wrist problem and he won't go on the IL. Like, we'd be super frustrated about that if he were playing in Boston. So I'm glad it's somewhere else. It's just a shame for San Diego because that window is closing rapidly on them. So really interesting to see if they can dig themselves out of this hole and get back into it. But Xander's a big part of that. And if he's not healthy, I'm not sure they can. So with that, if there aren't any or final thoughts, I think we'll wrap it up there for this Bastards Roundtable episode. The Weekend Crew will be back with you guys Monday morning. They'll be recapping the Yankee series, and we will see you guys then. Everyone, take care.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.